it wasn't just me, but a few of the leaders in the team kind of just talked to the guys and told them that we're not going backwards when we get to training camp. When we get to training camp, you want to make sure you're adding on and you're getting better every single day, and you don't want to lose all the stuff that you've worked for in these OTAs and the mini camp. And I feel like that's what we've kind of really kind of emphasized to the whole entire team is go out, enjoy the break, get some time off because you're going to need it, especially going into this long season. But make sure you come back ready to go the first day, and we don't have to kind of build into that.
Welcome to the 4th and 1 podcast, the only Chiefs podcast in Kansas City that never goes backward. We're always going forward. We're getting that first down. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacob. I'm fired up. I know I'm ready to attack training camp, and I'm not any good at football. So I imagine the other guys in that room are rallying behind Patrick Mahomes. Nick Jacobs, how are you feeling today?
Hello, Todd. I feel great today, okay? Despite many of your jokes in the newsroom, I feel great today.
I don't know what jokes I could possibly have made on Father's Day that would have made you uncomfortable.
Oh, I have no idea at all about that.
That's all right. Okay. Moving on. He's just mad because I got cheesecake today and he didn't. So,
Yes, I'm so furious about that.
I can
that.
See. You know, if you're watching on Roku or the OTT, the rage in his eyes is clear.
Oh, yeah. I am, I'm completely okay with Todd getting cheesecake and me not. Although he did want me to drive him by to go get it, and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but then somebody brought me some anyway. So, because I'm loved. I'm a beloved figure wherever I go.
Congrats on that.
Speaking of rage, Nick, yeah. Where do you sit on the Chris Jones situation? Because I know we've had conversations about this off the air.
No.
So just break it down. Obviously, he didn't show up for OTAs, didn't show up for training camp. I know you're a guy that's big on that.
Didn't show up to mini camp.
Sorry, didn't show up to mini camp. Mandatory mini camp. But I know you're a guy who's big on, on showing up, being there. So where do you stand on the Chris Jones situation at the moment?
Well, with Chris Jones, I wasn't in... I didn't expect him to be mandatory. I figured that would kind of be his final opportunity to make his statement, and then I anticipated him probably coming to training camp. We'll see what ends up happening because, it'll be interesting to see what he does in terms of training camp now because the numbers that are finally being put out publicly – That's a pretty expansive contract. So if he's wanting the reported near $20 million a year after they've already paid Frank Clark and Tyron Matthew and they're going to have to pay Mahomes, there's only so much money to go around, and Chris Jones may not be the benefactor of that aspect. But like I've said on this podcast before, from a coaching perspective, you want to see him with the defensive line coach Brendan Daly. When Daly's working with him, how quickly does he pick up the technique that Daly's trying to illustrate to him? How disciplined is he in his gap responsibility? How disciplined is he in his assignment and his twist, his stunt, what you're asking him to do? So you want to see all those things, and you want to see him firsthand in person, because you know what you see on coaches' film. A lot of undisciplined play to where he wasn't playing what was being asked of him in the scheme. He was just making plays. Now, people can argue on Twitter about that, hey, he did great on a bad defense. That's fine. They still didn't win a Super Bowl. At the end of the day, this is about winning a Super Bowl, and there's a defensive coaching staff in town now that's doing what they can to get him there. And I'm going to say it and be blunt about it, there's a competent defensive coaching staff in town that can make it happen. So, I would like to see him there. I think the coaching staff would like to see him there. And as it's been reported by Ian Rapoport, NFL Network, the front office and the organization would like to see him there as well so that they could start the negotiation contract talks again.
Yeah, no, they've made it clear. I mean, if he doesn't show up, he's not going to get paid. Like Mitchell Schwartz, Harrison Butker, they've shown up.
They were there.
They got rewarded with contract extensions this week. Part of me wonders if Chris Jones had shown that kind of commitment and come to OTAs on his own, or at the very least had shown up to mandatory minicamp, if they wouldn't be farther along in this process. And it may just be that Chris Jones' camp feels like they're going to be too far away, like you talked about, on money. So he's trying to make a point. We talked about this last year. Chris Jones, he had the NFL record for consecutive games with a sack and things like that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times he was not necessarily maintaining his two-gap responsibility before he would go ahead and make a play. Now, the advantage that you see there is that a lot of those responsibilities have gone away now, and they're going to – and we think and we expect that the new system under Steve Spagnuolo is actually going to reward exactly the kind of plays that Chris Jones can make in terms of his quickness and just beating guys upfield. That's going to be a lot more staple of the way that this defense attacks offenses. And so you would think that Chris Jones is going to be a natural fit in it, but until you see it and until you see how he's going to work with the Frank Jones, or sorry, with the Frank Clark and with this coaching staff, it's hard to feel good about handing out a contract worth north of $100 million to a second defensive lineman in the same offseason.
Now, what people are going to argue in return, though, is that the Chiefs handed Frank Clark $100 million before they got to work with him, too. And they're right in that aspect. But here's the thing. They already saw on tape what they wanted in Frank Clark. So that's why they gave him the money that they did. And with the role he's going to play in the Leo aspect, that's something that they coveted. And his game is something that they coveted. And on his game, it proves that he's gap disciplined. And on his game film, it shows those things that they're looking for. That's why they went out and got him.
Also, Dee Ford couldn't do it. Justin Houston couldn't do it. They'd already jettisoned those guys with the plan of bringing in Frank Clark all along. Plus, Frank Clark's farther along in his career. He's already got the track record that Chris Jones has just established in terms of, you know, to make the trade to get that first round pick, you had to make an investment beyond this year to make it worth the investment you already made in the trade. You know, I mean, it would be the same thing if the Chiefs coming in, you know, decided to move on from Chris Jones and trade him. You would expect that club would extend him, because otherwise it's a waste of the first round pick that you invested to get him in the first place.
Yeah, it's going to be a waste of some high draft picks if you don't do that. And at the same time, it's we'll have it later on in the B block. You'll hear some.
I'm just saying that's another reason why you extend Frank Clark when you did, and the timing of why the Chiefs have spent the money the way they have this offseason.
I don't think it's a coincidence that the two guys that they paid this offseason, Andy Reid has already mentioned as leaders on this football team defensively.
Yeah,
that's not by accident.
All right, let's hear from Patrick Mahomes and Anthony Hitchens and what their thoughts are on the Chris Jones situation.
Yeah, I've talked to Chris, and I know he's still working hard out there, and I'll be excited to get him back. But as of right now, I'm just kind of working with the guys that are here.
He's a smart guy. I'm not going to get into too much about what Chris and whatnot, but he's a smart guy, and training camp is 4 or 5 weeks. He should be able to get it down by then.
I know you love spending money on special teams players. Are you okay with the Harrison Butker contract? He's the highest paid kicker in the league now, right?
I haven't really went through that extensively with a fine tooth comb. I just saw the overall headline of that, and I'm like, okay. So it's not a passion of mine, as you tried to allude to.
What?
Yeah, it's.
So you're not going to sign James Winchester to an $8 million yield deal?
No, I can't say that I am. No. So, yeah, I mean, hey, like we talked about there, Mitchell Schwartz and Harrison Butker, they were able to show up to camp when they were under contract and able to get that done. So they were rewarded very handsomely for that.
Yeah, Schwartz extended his deal 1 year, added $11 million to the value of that to the contract with the extension. Harrison Butker, I think it's I believe, 5 years, $20 million, something along those lines. Does that sound right?
I think it's more than that, but
yeah, I don't know. $20 million, I think, was the value of the contract, but a lot of money. You know, if you got a kid out there, Father's Day, teach him how to kick an oblong shaped ball between the uprights and do it with proficiency, and he could one day be a millionaire and buy you a house.
It sounds like you're talking to yourself.
I am. I'm starting with my 5 year old now.
I wish you the best on that one.
All right, let's hear from Mitchell Schwartz about his contract extension.
I think both sides are pretty happy, and you know, I love being here. It's been an awesome 3 years, and now I got, you know, three more, so I'm looking forward to those. And you know, obviously we've done some good things, but want to do better these next few years. So you know, just a lot of looking forward for with the excitement. Obviously, you know, with Pat back there, everything is looking pretty good these days. So you know, just looking forward to doing my best to protect him.
So. If you're Patrick Mahomes, do you think they run something like this by him, like in terms of, you know, how he gets along, how he works with Mitchell Schwartz, how valuable he thinks he is. Do you think Patrick Mahomes has gotten to the point where they talk with him about guys they're going to extend long term?
I think Brett Veach has a pretty good feel on what he's wanting to do with that roster, and I think he consults with, in that circumstance, I think you consult with Andy Reid and Andy Heck on that, and the three of them would come to consensus, and there may be some, maybe Mike Baganzi and some of the other guys in the scouting department, they probably chat as well, and I think they already have a good evaluation of what they're going to do and what they're willing to financially spend in regards toward Schwartz, and I have no issue with paying Schwartz what they did. Schwartz could play right tackle, he could play left tackle, and he'd be a lead at both sides.
No, I mean, I think $11 million. I don't even think it was out of line. I don't really think they overpaid a lot for him. I think it was a good deal for both sides. And Butker, 5 years, $20.3 million. That does seem like a lot for a kicker. But I would also say this: if you have a kicker you trust and who is good, you take him for granted. If you've just asked the Chicago Bears about the value of having a good kicker that you can trust.
I'm sorry if Kevin Holmes is listening right now.
I'm just saying, I mean, you know, like they're out there, it's like a middle school practice where when the kickers miss, they're having to like do extra gassers and stuff because they can't find somebody who can kick a ball between the uprights.
All right. I have nothing to add to
that. Did you ever have a kicker at Oak Park who missed a kick and made you guys do extra work? And did you sit on his chest afterwards?
No, that didn't happen.
You didn't sit on his chest?
And our kicker was also one of our starting outside linebackers.
Oh, so you, what are you trying to say?
He kicked a game-winning field goal whenever we were playing Lee Summit my senior year.
Do you remember the date? We were down. What was the score? What was the score?
I want to say it was 27-24 because we had tied it up. We were struggling in that one. It might have been, I want to say 27-24. I'll have to double-check on that. But
what time does Wapner come on?
Stop. but I know that was before Halloween because that was, we played Lee Summit North the week before in those first week of October. So this was the second week of October when we played Lee Summit, and we played them before we played Tonka and Blue Springs. And the season actually ended on 31st or 1st November as Liberty was last. But anyways, since you went down this rabbit hole with me, we're going to keep going. Yeah, we were actually down in that game 14-0. And I remember Beechner was pretty good at Lee Summit back then. It's before the Drew Locke era, well before it. And yeah, I remember we were down 14-0. We were in a little bit of a lull that night, and then at some point there in the fourth quarter we turned it on and had a couple of had a fumble that we recovered deep in their territory, and then we had another interception that Ian Helmuth got, and then had a couple touchdowns with Keenan and Travis Rowden, and then Dio Gleason. When we got that, whenever Ian got that interception, DL just boomed it straight through 35 yards out. So much pressure on the line, and I don't know how he did that. And man, that was a fun game.
1 minute to Wapner.
You went down the rabbit hole. That's your fault. And for those that don't know, that was back in 2003. So I'm remembering something from second week of October in 2003.
All right. Well, let's talk about something a little more recent then. What were?
Yeah, I told you. You go down rabbit holes. That's your own fault.
Well, next time I'll take the red pill.
And if it makes you feel better, I laid somebody out on kick return that game too.
Oh, did you?
And then I just stepped over them to the sidelines because I was right by my sidelines.
Again. Talking about something more recent, did you lay anyone out at Chiefs minicamp, and what were your impressions?
I did not
at Chiefs minicamp.
I did not. I would not do that to anybody there. They're all fine individuals.
I don't know how you feel about other media members.
They are all fine individuals, so I would not do that to any media member, player, chief security that's listening right now, or anybody that was there. Yeah, the impressions I took away from the offense: Carlos Hyde. He had a little bit better burst than I saw in December on his coach's film, so I was impressed to see that. And he got a lot of touches, and he looked pretty good whenever he's catching the ball and turning upfield. So I like seeing that. He looked pretty comfortable finding the hole and just running through it. So I'm kind of curious to see if he's able to maintain that level of speed when October and November rolls around after there's been.
How about just let's start with July.
Well, I expect most players to be fresh in July and September. It's when you get to October and November that's when. You start to see some of that take effect.
I'm just saying, with his injury history, you know, I want to see him start at a 100% baseline, and you know, let's see if he's back to the Carlos Hyde of the San Francisco days when he was, frankly, you know, on the cusp of becoming one of the best backs in the league.
I just told you it's baseline, Todd.
All right.
I'm wondering if he maintains it. Receiver-wise, I really like what Byron Pringle was doing out there. This is going to be what's going to be confusing for some people if you get up to training camp. There is a number one out there, and it is not Byron Pringle. Pringle is actually taking on 13, so you get used to, you know, you're so used to seeing DeAnthony Thomas in that, and it's not the case.
So Jody Fortson, the tight end, not Byron Pringle.
Yeah, well, and what's funny is like whenever you see Fortson, like he's 6'6", 230, and so you're like, man, Byron Pringle's put on some muscle, and then you're like, oh, he's wearing 13 now. No, that's not. But yeah, no, Pringle looked he looked pretty good out there, explosive. Cody Thompson, I liked what he was doing. Dieter looks a lot more comfortable and confident in the offense, and he made some good sideline catches. I'd see him more as a possession receiver, but I liked what I saw. Sammy Watkins, what that guy was doing, he's gone to a whole new level in terms of speed. There was one play on a deep post where Mahomes threw it to him, and he outran everybody in every angle, every pursuit to get to that ball in the deep post, and Tyrann Mathieu was the only one who had a chance to catch up with him. Mahomes threw it perfectly right in this window in between two defenders who were trying to close on it, and Sammy made this catch. I remember being just kind of this one-handed grab, insane grab, turned it upfield, ran in for probably would have been a 70, 75-yard touchdown if it was in a real game, and Tyrann was the only one who had the nitrous oxide in him to be able to catch up to him and caught him there right before the goal line. So it was receiver wise, I really loved what I saw from Sammy. Running back wise, wasn't too bad. And then Mahomes, it was funny because there was one play where's Mecole Hardman, and Mahomes did a no look on a post, just did a no look, and Mecole didn't know that he could do that, so he learned a lesson in that one, and Mahomes is just, you know, he had a little fun with it, but yeah, Mecole, I think he learned a lesson on that play.
I know there were times though that Mahomes in the office didn't look crisp. Does that concern you at all at this stage? Because this is a time of year where the offense should be laying waste to the defense most of the time, or because the defense is so new and because you really don't know what to expect because you haven't practiced against them regularly, do you kind of give them a pass? And were you impressed then with the fact that the defense was able to do a few things and kind of throw Mahomes off?
I don't know if it's necessarily throwing Mahomes off. I think right now, with the receiving group that he has, with Tyreek obviously not being out there, and with
Conley
not being there and DeAnthony not being there anymore, I just think there's the only familiarity that he truly has on a game basis is with DeMarcus Robinson and Sammy Watkins out there.
And Watkins missed the last six games of last season.
So, but with the receiver group, I just don't think there's a lot there right now that he has, that they have that complete understanding. I think it's going to be something they're building on. And tight ends had a lot of drops without Kelsey out there on the field. So, I came away from the practice being like, all right, I like what Pringle's doing. I love what Cody Thompson's doing. I had those two kind of marked down as people I'm going to pay more attention to when camp rolls around. And then Watkins, like I said, looked fantastic. So O-line-wise, I know people may be curious about that, but I'm being honest. You really, in that era, until they put pads on and they're hitting in training camp, there's you can't really gauge that. But I will tell you, Kyle Shurmur, the quarterback, that guy, he's
a smart kid.
Well, it's not that, man. Like he's gotten a great stature to him to where I was like, man, if Shurmur gets accurate, Litton time could be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. No, I mean, his dad, Pat Shurmur.
I've heard of him, yeah.
So I hear he's done some things in the NFL.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, kid went to Vanderbilt. I mean, you know, he's a sharp guy. He really is. When they got him, I thought that was a real coup for the Chiefs to bring him in. And again, who wouldn't want to learn from Andy Reid and that staff as long as you could. You know, it sounds like, though, there's going to be a bit of a learning curve for Patrick Mahomes in terms of leadership, in terms of bringing guys together. Let's hear what he had to say about that process.
I think just knowing when I need to talk and when I need to be vocal to kind of help get the guys going, whenever I may see a practice starting off and maybe not the right way, it's stuff like those little things where you kind of know when to talk, whenever you can change a practice instead of sitting back and just letting it happen, is something I picked up on from the last season.
And that's something we talked about. We spent a lot of time this offseason. You know, we talked about this last podcast. We've spent offseason talking about Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, the tone, the culture they're trying to establish. It's good to. I mean, Mahomes gets it. He understands. He's got to be that guy for the offense too.
Yes, I think there's going to be a little bit of a unique build here coming up in camp, but I think Mahomes and the tempo he's setting is, I think he's just on a different wavelength this year to where he's pretty laser focused when you hear him talking, when you see him out there on the football field, and he's having fun, but he also understands what he, like, literally, if you think about it this way, somewhere right now, Tom Brady is in Wyoming or wherever he goes, according to the Brady documentary he had, and he's laser focused on not letting Patrick Mahomes have the edge to beat him. And I guarantee that's what Brady is thinking about right now. And now Mahomes on the other end has that hunger where he wants to topple Brady. And so that's why I think that's going to be fun to watch this year along the way, because I think these two in their mindset are on a collision course, hoping they're on a collision course and expecting to be on a collision course come January, and they're trying to get the best of each other. So that's what I'm kind of, I just, the way Patrick talks and the way he's approaching it, I think he got a taste of what it can be, and I don't think anybody's stopping him.
Well, and I want to see, I'm interested to see in training camp how that leadership develops. I mean, is he a guy that is going to start, you know, barking at guys, getting in their ear when they make mistakes, or is he going to stay a little bit more laid back because that's kind of his personality? I want to see the evolution in terms of leadership and accountability that we're going to see from Patrick Mahomes, because we've talked about, we know what we expect from a guy like Frank Clark in terms of the accountability he's going to demand from the defense. I want to see in what ways that's going to manifest with Patrick Mahomes in terms of trying to hold the offense accountable. So that's something, that, another thing that I think is worth watching when we get to training camp, which, by the way, quarterbacks and rookies report July 23rd. Your first chance to see them with the first public practice will be July 27th. You can check out kshb.com/Chiefs. There's an article that has all the dates and who's going to be available for autographs those days. Stay with us here on 4th and 1.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza. The power of Mother Nature.
We now have a confirmed tornado.
Taking direct aim on Kansas City.
We were watching Gerard Jubaley, so we knew it was coming.
This is significant, Gary.
And when the sirens sound.
Very strong tornado.
That's headed toward us.
They're the one team you can really trust.
Need to get in your safe place immediately.
On air, Facebook, on our app. They're accurate when it matters most. Gary Lezak and the 41 Action Weather Team. Kansas City's most accurate. Kansas City's weather leader.
41 Action News, available on Amazon Echo.
We know Kansas City.
We love telling the stories of Kansas City.
Well, it's not exactly any one thing, and we couldn't do it without our reporters on the streets.
Behind these doors here at MCC.
Big flashes of lightning as well.
We hustle. We dig.
We bring you the important stories you won't see anywhere else.
So how many diapers are you giving out a month?
There is a difference in the morning. Watch us, and you'll see.
41 Action News, clear, complete coverage.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, we talked a lot about offense that last segment. You know, we talked a little bit about the defense, but what were your overall impressions about the defense? What can people expect to see from Steve Spagnuolo's group and this position group, maybe, as we look forward to training camp and the season?
Let me just say, the first thing I'm going to put out there is, I haven't been this happy watching a defense on the Chiefs practice field in a really long time. Watching guys play at a tempo to where it's like a championship level game out there and giving everything that they have out there and the adjustments that they were making on things, the alignments that they were tweaking however they needed to, the looks they were giving them during some of their blitz periods. Oh my! It was really fun to watch. And
see, I thought you were an offensive guy.
I had to be. We didn't exactly have that here. But it was really fun to watch. Frank Clark, the way that guy flies around on the football field, it's so fun to see, and just how instinctive he is, and just the counter moves that he has, and just the way he plays, and the intensity he plays at, and the way he was helping his teammates. And then whenever you watch that linebacking group, I tell you what, Wilson, that they got from the Cowboys, and linebacker, That dude's got some size, yeah, Damian Wilson, speed to him. Like, you think with his size, you're like, man, I don't know if he's got that ability to chase. And then you see it, and you're like, never mind. And he was closing on some of those flats passes and getting downhill. It was impressive. And Hitchens looks much more comfortable and confident when he's out there on the field now. He knows where he's going. He doesn't have to think. I can tell he's not having to think anymore. He's able to attack, and so he's able to illustrate his speed. And that secondary, Breland looked good. Tyrann Mathieu looked outstanding, just the way he was all over the field.
Breland?
Yeah. Rashawn Breland.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking not, Breland Speaks, and I was like,
no,
what
Breland.
I was like, hey, please tell me they didn't move him to cornerback.
No, I think Breland Speaks is going to be playing some defensive tackle this year.
Yeah, no.
That's kind of where I would put him at personally.
There's a lot of guys that may be have to move inside to play some downs if they want to stick around on the team this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because when you think about Alex Okafor, some of the guys they brought in, I mean, there's just not going to be Frank Clark's not a guy who comes off the field very much if he doesn't have to. So if you want to get reps opposite Okafor or if you want to get reps on that defensive line with Okafor and with Frank Clark there, you're going to have to probably find a way to be of use on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear real quick. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you know, talked about the leadership they saw on defense and their first impressions of this defense. I think they were a little excited too.
You know, the honey badger jumps out at you as being one. I think that'll continue to grow. Frank Clark's another one. Hitchens is unbelievable. I mean, Hitchens kind of keeps everybody intact there. You like to have that guy, just like we were talking about Austin. He's your transmitter there from the back end and the front end. And so those guys become important. But we have other guys that are, you know, that are pretty good leaders too. But those I'd probably tell you are the more of the bigger personalities.
I'm seeing a lot of energy, a lot of communication, and a lot of just going out there and making plays. I mean, they're trying out a lot of different stuff too, seeing what works and what doesn't work. And I feel like it's been a good back and forth the whole entire camp, which is always good to see. And I feel like they've even gotten a couple days that they haven't gotten for us before. So I'm excited to see that those guys going out there and winning some days and competing with us on every single play.
Nick, what are you going to do if this is suddenly a top five or top 10 defense? I mean, are you going to smile on Sundays? What's going to happen?
It's a strong possibility. Oh my God. So you better watch out, because that's like an eclipse coming. It's rare.
I know. I'll have to go bust out my eclipse glasses if I can still find them.
Yeah, you're going to have to. So I hope you have those ready, because it's going to be just as rare and just as glorious.
Obviously, there's some changes that play. We kind of talked about that when I was talking about Chris Jones. I mean, one of the things that that they did under Bob Sutton was two gapping. And for those of you who don't know, that basically means on any given play, you've got to read the play, and you could either have the gap on either side of your offensive player is the one that's ultimately your responsibility. And it's a little bit more challenging for a defense, because everybody's got to read the play the same way, and everybody's got to go to the proper gap. And if just one guy screws up, it can open up a cutback lane, or it can leave a seam in the middle of the offense, you know, of the defense, and you can get gashed. And we saw it, quite frankly, a lot with the Chiefs defense. Now the defense is going to prize aggression and just getting downhill and making plays a little bit more. And it seems like the guys like it. So let's hear from Anthony Hitchens, Kendall Fuller, and Charvarius Ward about what they like about this new defensive scheme.
Once you get it down, you know, everyone can play fast, and it's simplified. Everyone has single gaps. From the first day to the last day, we just learning and learning and learning. And a lot of guys, you better play fast, including myself this year with the new scheme.
I would say our base coverage isn't specifically man here, but, you know, right now it's too early to tell. You know, a lot of people, you know, they talk about certain stuff, but, you know, a lot of stuff is just game plan. You never know week by week things are going to change, different coverages and things like that. So right now we've just been working on everything. And then, you know, once you master everything, you know, once you get to the game plans week by week, you'll, you know, key in on certain things. So it's definitely going to be fun. And, you know, we're definitely going to have a variety of coverages that we're going to be able to give offenses.
Oh, it's a lot more communicating, a lot more teaching. I mean, it's a brand new defense, so everybody learning right now. But they're more enthusiastic and better teachers.
So, Nick, your reaction to the fact that Charvarius Ward thinks that they're better teachers.
I don't think he's inaccurate. That's all I can say.
How quickly do you think the PR staff got a hold of him and was like, let's find a better way to phrase that next time, Char? They can't be thrilled.
I'm not going to speak for him. I don't disagree with the assessment.
Look, the one thing you can say is the guys seem to, this time of year, everybody thinks their defense is going to be great. Everybody, it's all sunshine and roses in OTAs and mini camp. But when you hear Anthony Hitchens talk, he was a defeated man by the end of last year when he would speak to the media. He does not seem like a defeated man anymore.
He's very rejuvenated.
Kendall Fuller, by the end of last year, was a defeated man with the way things were going for that defense. At least that's the way it came across sometimes. Charvarius Ward was just happy to be playing and continues to be happy to be playing. But there seems to be a renaissance, so to speak, with these guys. And you would expect that during the offseason. But am I reading too much into it, or do you really think there's something to it?
I'm just going to tell you my impressions from watching the coaching staff out there. That was the number one thing that I wanted to watch when I got there, was how they were doing in drills, what type of mentality were they setting, what were they saying. And there was times, I'm not going to go in depth about it, but I will when training camp starts, is that Spagnuolo was out there teaching. There was a drill they were working on, and he helped a player with a certain part of their game, and he explained why they needed to do it this way. And he did it to where everybody could hear that was there at the drill, and they could all learn from it at that, even without necessarily having that rep. And then when the player did it again, he was enthusiastic about it. So, and I'm saying he wasn't mean or hateful or anything about it. He was just coaching him, and he was just teaching him. The player was receptive to it, took it, and was able to improve upon that just from one rep. And I'm saying, for a defensive coordinator to do that, that is huge. And then also on top of it, the position coaches, when I was watching Dave Merritt and the secondary coach, just the way the energy he brought and the way he was working with them and teaching them, I was ecstatic about it. The guy I did not get to watch that I wanted to was Brendan Daly, but I'm going to make sure I'll watch him at camp, and I'm curious to watch more of Matt House. But I loved what I saw from them when they were doing part of their team stuff.
Speaking of Matt House, Andy Reid alluded to Anthony Hitchens being a standout so far in minicamp. I got to imagine that part of that is Matt House and being able maybe to switch back to a little bit more natural position for him as a middle linebacker in a 4-3 as opposed to 3-4.
Well, he'll be playing Will. Weak side.
So, but he's more comfortable in a 4-3 than he is in a 3-4.
Yeah, correct.
And so I got to imagine that part of that plays into it. Obviously Matt House, you were really excited when they were able to get him from the Kentucky staff. So let's hear from Anthony Hitchens about what he thought of Matt House.
I like the energy he brings every day. And he never lets up. He's definitely an alpha, and we need more guys like that. So he has a lot of energy, and he's also a veteran. He's been in the league, been in D.C., so he knows a lot about football. So it's going to be good.
All right, so any negatives to report regarding the defense?
No.
Anything concerning you?
Not right now. I want to see how they look in pads whenever I can watch the defensive line more overall and watch. This was a big thing last year whenever preseason rolled around and regular season, was their ability to tackle and how many missed tackles they had and how many poor tackles that they had. So that's something I want to see whenever preseason starts to ramp up in August. So I'm going to be curious to watch this defensive coaching staff during training camp, what drills they do that were different than what I've witnessed over the past 5 years, and how they approach things and how they approach certain situations and some of their team stuff. So I'm curious to see all that. Like Andy Reid always says, it's an evaluation process. There's no pads yet. So it's going to be intriguing, but there's hope, and I like having hope.
Cornerback, is that still the one spot you hope they can make an addition either camp or during camp?
I would not be against it, but I'm still a little nervous about tight end, receiver as well. So I'm kind of curious to see. I was glad they were able to get Sterling from the Jets, but I still want to see more added.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back for the final segment and your tweets here on 4th and 1.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
We don't just report the stories. We find the stories. Getting the answers you deserve every day, every night. 41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, I think I got one that is going to stump you this week
for naming that
chief. I think I'm going to get you on this one.
Yeah, you probably will.
So,
I accepted it.
Just so you know, I thought about just doing like Nick Allegretti and just going with like random things from his high school and college career. But I'll give you this hint. It is not Nick Allegretti.
Thanks. There's only a couple thousand more Chiefs it could be. Thank you, Todd.
It will not be Nick Allegretti.
Thank right. you.
So if you're ready, sir.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Let's go.
Can you name this Chief Nick Jacobs? This 27-year-old Wichita native on the current Chiefs roster is with his fourth NFL team after being a fourth-round pick of the San Francisco 49ers in 2015. A quarterback in high school and a 2010 Major League Baseball draft pick, he's averaged 12.4 yards per catch in his 50-game NFL career with an impressive first down percentage of nearly 38%.
I'm going to be honest. You used a lot of numbers, so I just started tuning out.
His uncle Mike was a number two overall pick by the Chiefs in 1979 out of Colorado State and still ranks eighth in club history with 40 career sacks during a 12-year career all
There's
with
those
Kansas
numbers
City.
Again.
Well, I'm just saying he played all 12 of his years with Kansas City. Can you name that Chief, Nick Jacobs?
No, as I tuned out during half of your number.
I'm sorry, man. Like, stats are
so,
part of the game.
I mean, okay, so he's 27 years old at this point, and he's currently on the Chiefs right now, and he said he's played the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
See, those are the parts that I'll remember whenever you start doing average and ranking, and this is just like that in my head. It's like light dimmer. It's turning down at that point. All right,
I'll get you some Advil next time. Maybe Advil can sponsor this segment when I do it.
Will Todd give Nick another headache? Find out on Name That Chief.
The answer is yes.
Okay, and you said he catches the football, right?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Well, if he's 27 years old at this point.
I have some more hints I can give you.
Oh, okay. But he's played for the Chiefs before?
I didn't say that. I said he's on the current Chiefs roster.
Okay. Well, if he's on the current Chiefs roster, then I guess I'm going to end up going Blake Bell.
It is Blake Bell. Yeah, did you know his uncle Mike was number two overall pick for the Chiefs in 1979? We won't talk about what happened in 1984, but...
I'm telling you, Todd, I tune out whenever you start going heavy in numbers. So...
Well, that was a year.
I'm telling you, man, you start overwhelming with numbers. That's why I was awful in algebra.
All right. Next time it's going to be all stats.
I won't pay attention to the whole thing at that point. All right, Todd, are you ready for your at least my numbers aren't overwhelming in mine.
Okay.
All right. Todd, this former Chief played for three AFC West teams, the Chiefs, Broncos, and Chargers. He played from 1987 till 2000. He won two Super Bowls. He was a six-time Pro Bowler. He's in the Chiefs Hall of Fame.
Neil Smith?
All right, you didn't let me finish, but thanks. Yes, it is Neil Smith. And the final two, before Todd rudely interrupted me, before I said name that Chief.
I'm sorry.
He was the 1993 NFL sack leader. And he
15
had
and a half. 15 and a half sacks that year.
Thank you,
Todd.
I know you
hit numbers, but...
Interrupted me yet again. Todd, ruining Name That Chief.
I'll turn
and also, Thank you for turning down your microphone. He had a trademark baseball swing and wore a Band-Aid over his nose. Todd, could you have named that chief if you hadn't rudely interrupted me?
Is it Derek Thomas?
You already answered that, sir. All right, so Todd took the fun out of Name That Chief this week. We'd like to thank Todd for stopping by. He will be going home with absolutely nothing because we don't pay for gift cards for Todd.
I just want cheesecake.
I'm sorry, Todd. We are fresh out of anything that makes you happy.
All right, see if I take you to Cinnabon next time.
My truck will never get in the parking garage. This is a terrible day. Okay, so it's time for Check the Tweets. First one comes from Gizmo.
Oh, don't get them wet after midnight.
So Gizmo,
or feed them after midnight. Don't get them wet at all.
Those are both rules in the Gremlins movie.
What's the third one?
Like, what?
What's the third one? Like, don't put them in the microwave. I can't.
I think that's a general rule in life. Yeah. No, but yeah, you're not supposed to. If I remember correctly, you don't feed them after midnight. You don't pour water on them. And I don't remember anymore after that. So, but what Gizmo asked is
don't tickle them.
I feel like that's just a general rule and as well. So Gizmo asked, Jones and a second round pick for Jalen Ramsey? Question mark.
I would consider it, especially, but I would have to know that Jalen Ramsey is going to sign a long term contract. Kind of, I mean, I'm not doing it without I'm not giving up Chris Jones and any more assets without knowing that there's some security on the back end.
For the people yelling, I'm going to do a follow up for this. For the people yelling at you right now about why would you do that? Who would you replace Chris Jones with on the defensive line?
Colin Saunders.
Oh. So you're saying they may have actually planned for that if they needed to?
Well, I think that they probably feel like athletic defensive tackles are going to be a premium in Steve Spagnuolo's defensive scheme, and I think they feel like if things don't work out with Chris Jones, boy, it sure would be nice to have another guy with a similar athletic profile already on the roster, already have a year of experience in the system, waiting in the wings should you have to part ways with Chris Jones at some point after the 2019 season.
All right, Derek Anthony asks, your pick for rookie of the year for Kansas City?
Juan Thornhill. I think that there's a good chance that he shines in training camp and finds his way into the field a lot for the defense. Depending on how things shake out, you know what, though? I mean, I think the sleeper is going to be still Mecole Hardman Jr. because I think he's got a real chance to make a difference, make an impact on special teams.
Yeah, and our final question of Check the Tweets for today. Do you think K-Pass makes the roster? And for those that don't know, that's Tono K-Passing you.
Hold on. Let me scan the roster real quick.
You scan that roster.
I need to scan the roster there.
Scan that roster, Todd Ballmer.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I think he does. I think he does. But only if he can find a way to have some value on special teams. If he can't find a way to do that in training camp, if we don't see him working with the ones and twos, if we don't see him working significantly in a significant role, somehow, some way on special teams, I don't think he has a spot.
And we have one question on Twitter from @Jacob71. @Jacob71 asks, Todd, what did you do for your Father's Day?
I mostly got told how much my 5-year-old didn't like me because I wouldn't let him watch Pokemon reruns on Netflix. So that was most of my morning before I came to work.
Did they get you anything for Father's Day?
They did. I got my wife an Adirondack chair so she could sit outside with some cushions and sit outside comfortably when she needed to get away from me and my children, who can be loud at times. So sometimes my wife likes to go sit outside, especially this time of year. So I got her a nice chair. So she got me a new chair so that I could sit outside with her for Father's Day.
Well, that was very thoughtful of Angie.
It was. It was. It's almost like our marriage isn't in shambles, as people predicted it would be on our wedding day.
Well, this just got awkward real quick. Thanks for that, Todd.
All right. Well, on that high note, we'll be back next week. Nick, do you want to give a preview of what we're going to do next week? Or are we just going to wing it since we're in that weird, awkward period between mandatory minicamp and training camp?
I'm working on some things. We'll see how they pan out.
All right. Well, we are not going to go on vacation, so
we don't.
We'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm. That will happen. And I appreciate you not asking me anything about Father's Day, because that would have been awkward, Tom.
We'll save those jokes for the newsroom. Stay classy, Kansas City.
We'll see you.